Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 358. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four ways that you can receive one at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or a audio tape. It's absolutely free. Postage and handling is taken care of as well. We have Bible reading today and some testimonies and a powerful message from the Lord in every way, and some music and some singing. So right now, though, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, anoint me. Let me just be a pile of ashes and let You speak out of the ashes. Your words are a sweet-smelling savor unto people. The burnt ashes of the animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament, when they were no longer in the same shape, form, or fashion that they were, and they were no longer alive, but they became a heap of ashes, they became a sweet-smelling savor unto You. And Lord, that we become a sweet-smelling savor to You, because we are living sacrifices, and because when we are when we become sacrifices unto You, living sacrifices of the Lord. And when we are, then the work that is done in and through us is of the Holy Spirit, of You. And this is a sweet-smelling savor that attracts those that are potential, that will eventually be members of the corporate body of You, the corporate body of You, Jesus. And then they will move as You move them. This is sweet for You to be able to move the way You want in human bodies, which are Your temple. Those of us together, all of us in unison, just like the flying saucers. You revealed unto me that the flying saucers were symbolic or a type or figure of You, the wheel inside the wheel, and we are the wheel. You are the head and we are the body. And we move straight on, quick as lightning, because when we are sure of the direction that we're getting from You, we can move without being double-minded. We can move with fire, zeal, and quicker than lightning, in precision. There isn't anything more precision than You and Your body, Your true body. You showed me that, by the way, that those flying saucers came right up to our windshield and just shaved it and went right off behind us. There was, as You showed me, that it was a squadron of them, a large squadron of them. And thank You for, Lord, I praise and thank You for showing me the meaning of that. All these years I didn't know until just recently when You told me. And it's mentioned, as we just read not about two or three messages ago, from the first chapter in the book of Ezekiel. Lord, honor Yourself by using Your vessel here, myself, to just be mortal dead, to where You're speaking and it's just You. That souls may be saved and the church may be strengthened. The real body of Christ may be strengthened and move with precision as You, the Holy Spirit, moves them, all of us, together with You. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, this is myself with J.D. Sumner and the Staff's Quartet to sing Consideration.
I have no one
to which I
wrong,
to which
Jireh.
Only the Lord.
Only the Lord.
Whom I can turn.
Whom I can turn.
Lord, in your blessed consideration. Consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
Tide rolling high.
Tide rolling high.
Billows deep by.
Billows deep by.
Lord, hear my plea.
Lord, hear my plea.
Don't pass me by.
Don't pass me by.
Lord, when you smile on creation, consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
That winds may blow.
That winds may blow.
That breakers roar.
That breakers roar.
They beat on every side. Oh, one thing I know.
One thing I know.
And to be sure.
And to be sure.
In thee my soul can hide. When I'm alone.
When I'm alone.
Without a home.
Without a home.
Where's in my loved one?
Where's in my loved one?
All are gone.
All are gone.
Lord, when you give out heaven's reservation, consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
Lightning may flash.
Lightning may flash.
Wild waves may dash.
Wild waves may dash.
The tempest raging high, sent from above,
sent from above,
whispers of love,
whispers of love,
attend my people cry. Boom, 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 boom. The day will come,
the day will come,
life will be done,
life will be done.
Lord, in your presence,
Lord, in your presence,
let me be one,
let me.
Lord, when you give up heaven's reservation, consider me.
Oh, Lord, consider me.
Praise the Lord. This song reminds me of a dream that I had. It was a dream vision. I've never had a vision or a dream regarding the destruction of cities or nations or anything like that. My late wife Susie did, and I've met many people that said that they'd seen things like that before, and I haven't really had a vivid dream from the Lord or a vision for quite some time. I had a whole lot of them when I first got saved, and I just have recently found out what some of these meant. Some of them I didn't know, have any idea what they meant any more than the prophet Daniel and some of the other prophets knew what the Lord was telling him at the time. He said these things would be known in the latter days, because the prophet Daniel would be standing with his the people of the Lord in the last days. But at any rate, this had to do with with the city of New Orleans, and primarily New Orleans. And it seemed like it was it's for sure New Orleans. And I think they call it the Latin Quarter or the French Quarter there. The people on this next visit from the Lord, not Mother Nature, will not be safe in the quarter, what they call it. I saw myself in this huge, like it was like a casino, but I had an apartment there. It was like a huge, beautiful apartment. It looked like it cost millions of dollars. And it had a hardwood floor, kind of a blondish floor, which I never really liked that kind of a floor before. But it was so beautiful, and it was very highly polished and very nice. And there was like in back in front of me, it was huge, and then there was like a glass wall there, and I could see there was a bar there, and there was just a very few people sitting at the bar, and you couldn't hear them or anything. And I thought, you know, this is strange. But then I looked behind me, and in the apartment, it even went further, way back, and then you could see different rooms on each side, and then I could see a stairway going up to some room, probably bedrooms or something. I didn't see that. And then one of the people in my church came in, and I said, look at this beautiful apartment that the Lord gave me. I reckoned, and she just was saying, oh, yes. It was one of the elderly ladies and her husband. And I said, well, then I saw people rushing over to the window in the bar, in the nightclub there. And so I wanted to see what was going on, so I went out there, and there was like a horrible storm. And it was right by on Lake Pontchartrain or on the ocean or the Gulf or someplace. You know, I'm not sure of any of the things that I'm sure of what I saw, but I didn't know exactly, you know, what was all the different rooms in the apartment, and I didn't know. But there was, I looked straight down from the windows in the bar, and there was like a lot of rocks down below, and the waters were rising up really high. And somebody said, man, it's gone over the blockades. It's running over there. And they said, this is going to flood everything in New Orleans, in this town. So and there was like rain was coming down. And I could see these fireballs here and there. They'd blast off, and it sounded just like more loud than thunder. And there was like sparkles that were flying all over outside. And so I started, and then I wound up on some small stairway. It wasn't an attractive one either. It was just like a utility stairway going up into the building. And behind me were four other men, a couple of them were black men. And I was going very fast, mainly because I didn't know any reason, but I just was going fast because there was four people behind me. And so I was running on my toes, you know, to have, I might as well build my calves up a little bit here. And I went, we went clear to the top of, and I didn't know how many floors it was, but there was a room there. And they went into this room, and it was just a bunch of junk in there. And the guy pulled out a piece of iron, and it had a handle on it. And it was, I said, what's that? And the black guy said, it's a pump. And then he opened another door and just laid this flat piece of iron. It was kind of rusty looking. And he started just pumping on it. The pump wasn't attached to any hose or any kind of wires or anything like that. And I saw him pumping, and I thought, how is he going to, this water was already up around 3 feet in the lobby. And I thought, how stupid how this guy thinks that that's going to do anything. It's not even attached to anything. It's just like he was feverishly moving that pump back and forth. And so this is what I saw, and I thought, how futile in a situation like that that human help would be. So I then I saw a picture of a place that we have in Falk, Arkansas. And I said, well, I'm sure glad we kind of are on the top of a knoll there. And I said, I was thinking to myself how fortunate we are to be in a place like this where the water would not come up to us. And it was like the Lord told me, yes, the water will come over here. You'd be better off, you'd be very wise to get a boat and put it in your backyard. And then there was, it was a touch of like Las Vegas and the coastal cities. There's like a real bad thing going to happen to New Orleans. It's for sure. And when I woke up, that thing just stayed, that dream just stayed with me and stayed with, and I checked it out with the Lord. Lord, is this really you? And then the way I check it out, things to see whether they be of the Lord or not, I said, do you want me to tell this on my radio program? And he said, yes. And so I said, is this you, Jesus? Now, this is one way that the devil cannot get in, is if you say, is this you, Jesus, Son of the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are you the one that died on the cross and shed your precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins? Is this you that's telling me these things, or is it the devil? And the Lord said, it's me. And so if I were people in New Orleans, I'd get out of there real fast. And I don't, you know, nobody knows where some of these plagues are going to hit until they hit, unless God reveals it to you. And that's why I just love being a pile of ashes. Ted, no desire to do one thing, good or evil. I just have a desire to let the Lord tell me what to do and the Lord tell me what to say. And all my visions and dreams and signs and wonders that I received from the Lord, I never planned or asked Him for such things as that. As a matter of fact, some of the things that He showed me were very frightening. And I didn't know the meaning of them. And so I would find out later. And like the time when he appeared before me and he was talking, but I couldn't hear him. It was like a radio going off and on. And it took me a while to understand that he was telling that I'm not hearing from him. I'm not reading the Bible enough. And you have to read the Bible. And Susie would tell me, you know, you really have to study because God has got big plans for you, Tony. He really is going to make something out of you. And you really need to know the Word. And so, you know, after a fashion, instead of building places for people to live in and being concerned about a bunch of people that eventually, most of them fell away. So they weren't even worth spending that time with it. The Lord just wanted me, I thought, this is what God wants me to do. And many of us get it in our mind is what we think God wants us to do. And what God wants us to be. And this is the very wrong attitude. We have to abandon all of our ideas and all of our opinions. We have to abandon any idea of a career in the world or in the gospel field. Because I just, when I realized that, I just started laying back. And that's when I really had peace. And I know that God is a big God. And another thing, too, is when, you know, the Lord really gives a vision. Everyone that I've ever had from Him was very clear. I knew what it meant at the time, and the ones that I knew, I didn't know what it meant. It was for sure from the Lord. And later on, I found out what the meaning was. And so when we become just... you know, we leave any idea of career or building up of our future, either in the gospel field or out in the world, then that's when the Lord will come down and alert you. If your mind, we know from the Bible that the things that we're supposed to do is to learn the Word. In other words, learn the Lord. The Lord is the Word. The Word is Spirit and is life. And so once we learn that, and if we just obey that and forget about our desires, He says, well, we can have what we desire. And I'm sure He means that it's so long as it's spiritual and it's something to further the kingdom of God. And He'll give us our heart's desires. Well, I never wanted... I didn't desire anything until after Susie died. Before I was married to her, I thought I'd pray, Lord, that you would give me a woman like her because she would keep me encouraged in the Lord all the time. And even though I'm so encouraged, But she's like, we're like two peas in a pod. I would really love to have a woman like that, that is not just interested in sex, or some woman in there that's just full of her own ideas. I've used to date different movie stars and people like that, and they were just all into themselves. And everything was I, me. What a boring thing to be around somebody like that. But since he had intelligence, as he used to tell me, men don't want women that are intelligent, because they're just so full of ego and things like that. But I thought it was wonderful to have somebody that knew the Lord as well as she did. I could see just in the way that she moved and everything she prayed about. And she wasn't one of those kind that said, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and the Lord told me this and that, and this and that, and this and that. Rarely did she ever say that, but she would start moving in a certain direction. I'd say, what's up? And she'd say, we have to go here today. And when we'd go there, a supernatural thing would happen just about every time. And then rarely would she say, that the Lord told me this or that. And when she did, it was for sure. These people that say, the Lord's telling me that somebody has a wart on their nose. Yes, I'm sure somebody out in the world does have a wart on their nose, and they probably have 2-3 hairs growing out of it as well. But this is not Bible prophecy. This is not that at all. And again, you have to check it out. I'm very fearful to say that the Lord told me this or that if it really didn't happen, because I don't want to go to hell for lying. Some of these people don't care. I'm sure they don't believe in hell. And if they do, they're not afraid of going there because they don't realize how severe it is. But anyway, we're going to get into a person that is that wants to eliminate any future for themselves, except just to be a vessel of the Lord to do whatever it is that He wants to do one day from the next, whatever. And sometimes, if the Lord, He's always, if you're close enough to Him, there's always something to do. And sometimes He says rest. And when He does, I just unglue completely. But anyway, we have some testimonies today. Where's the first one from?
From Westminster, California.
Okay, let's hear it.
Hello, Pastor Alamo. Even though it's from last year, I wanted to thank you for your Dry Bones ad in the Orange County Register last November. In your article, you made reference to the plan of salvation you found in the Bible. That reminded me of my own journey in finding the plan of salvation, redemption, that I have shared with the world on my website. As you wrote, something very wonderful happened to me, and it was done to and for me by Christ Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. In Christian love, Robert from Westminster, California.
All right, do you have another one?
Yes, from Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor, this is your son once again writing you this letter. First of all, how are you, your co-workers, and the whole congregation of your church? I am hoping that by the Almighty God's power, you are all in good health. I received the Bible literature you sent to me, and it was amazing. I gave some to the church deacons, church members, and the outside, and those outside the church. First of all, I was moved by the power of the Holy Spirit when I read some of the literature, because I saw that I have a lot to do for the Lord. I gave some of the literature to a fellowship called Christian Caring Fellowship, and to my surprise, they began testifying of it. The church deacons also testified of your literature. One of the deacon's sons was doubting the power of God, so he wasn't coming to church. But when his father gave the literature to him to read, he was touched by the Holy Spirit, confessed his sins, and gave his life to Christ. And the following Sunday, we saw him at church. Please, Pastor, I have been posted to one of our branches in eastern Ghana, and I will be in need of some of the literature and gospel tracts for evangelism. I would like to end here with the hope in God that my request will meet your kind consideration for the people's sake. Greetings to you, your co-workers, and the church members in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that the Lord may grant you all the necessary materials needed for his work to be done. Yours sincerely, Joseph from Ashraman, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there are many elements in the world that entice people to begin building up a future for themselves in this world. But the world doesn't have any future. The Bible says that the earth is going to burn. And there's so many signs and wonders that are happening. You know, when I first got saved, I just saw one right after the other, including, and I had no desire to see flying saucers at all. But on our way to Las Vegas, Susie said, Tony, come on, let's join hands. We were going there to get married. And I said, well, the Lord already married us in that vision. And she says, yeah, but we have to satisfy the law of the land. And I says, the law of the land, this it's so corrupt. Why do we have to go and get a ask the Satan or Satan's government for permission to get married and get a certificate and all this kind of stuff? And she says, well, you know, because people just talk, you know, we just do it anyway. It won't hurt anything. And I said, all right, but, you know, as far as the Lord showed me that, and you as well, that we're married. But we didn't have anything to do with each other as far as sexual relationships until we went there. We were married three times there. Once at the Red Rock Baptist Church, and Hank Snow, the singer, the country singer, was, I didn't know him at that time, but he was our best man. I recognized him because of that toupee that he had. It was like a real fiery red, and then he kind of had gray on the sides, and so I just, everybody told him to get a new one, and a lot of people that I know in the country music field said, hey, Hank, we'll buy you one. You know, come on, let us buy you one. No, he wouldn't do it. He just liked the one that he had. But at any rate, there's many elements in the world that will persuade you to do everything in their power to get you to start building up your future. But, for instance, one of the ways that the world persuades you to do that is when you see people in the world prospering. The prosperity of others. We become, you know, a lot of people become envious. I'm always happy, you know, people make it. I've never been jealous of anybody. As a matter of fact, I promoted people into stardom and different other things. So it didn't bother me at all. I always liked it when people prospered. But people do become jealous when they see you prosper. And when we see others achieve something, many people's heart is actually moved. All all these kind of things that happen within our heart and jealousies and all that proves that we still have hopes of our own successful future. All of these hopes never exist if you're really consecrated to the Lord. If you're a person that is truly consecrated to the Lord. A person that truly, really is consecrated, a consecrated person is a man who has given up the future. He actually abandons not only his future in the world, but his so-called spiritual future. He no longer has hopes for himself in anything. I remember I just was so happy to be saved, and it just didn't seem like I had any responsibility at all. All I wanted to do is praise and thank the Lord and tell other people the experience that I had. I even went to a lot of the radio stations and newspapers here in Los Angeles and told them, you know, to print that the Lord is coming back to earth again. Well, it's a lot later now than it ever than it was 42 years ago. And now we see people applauding when they say, I'm a homosexual. And we see now where the awards are, they put a lesbian up there, and they're exalting. The media is fashioning the world through their propaganda, a world that fully accepts everything that is demonic. Now, all of a person's hope that is truly consecrated is not in the world or not in any career at all. All their hope is in the Lord, in the Lord God. He lives purely and in a simple way in the hand of God. It's just simple. It was so refreshing. I just felt like a little kid again in Windham, Montana, where I used to run the hills, and everything smelled so good in the springtime and in the summertime. And there was little animals, and there was wild strawberries and blueberries and blackberries and little tiny flowers of every kind of color. And that's the way it felt when I got saved. I just didn't want to have anything to do with the world. Doing all the things that the people do in this world is just like a vexation. It's the thing that made me bitter. And the thing that really broke my heart was when the Lord came down as bitter as I was and touched my heart and filled me with so much love for Him. And love for Him meaning also love for His Word, because He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And I just wanted to soak in as much of the Lord as possible. Had no desire, no thoughts of any kind of career or anything. The only thing I wanted to do was, I thought, well, I know people in the industry. I would love to do a movie called The Book of Revelation. And I thought, and I would love to, just not for money, but just so everybody would see the movie. And but then, and I told Sue about it, like it would be three times bigger than this IMAX that you see today. The screen would go up three times higher than that, and the highest screen would only be used at the end of the movie. That would be when the heavens opened up and you see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, and then you see Him on a white horse and all the saints on white horses with Him. And then seeing Him descend from that top screen down to the second screen and down to the regular screen, and then there'd be like this big earthquake. And when I talked to Walt Disney about that, and also the IMAX people, they said they have a new sound, because I said we have vibrating floors so they feel the earthquake. He says, you don't have to do that anymore, because they have laser sound now. They said it's very expensive. But the laser sound would just rattle people's bones right into them, to where they would feel it in the very marrow of their bones. And they said something like that would, they told me the cost, it was way up in the millions, and even to build a theater like that would be the millions. And Disney told me that it would be wrong for you to build something like that just in Anaheim or someplace here in the United States, because there's not enough people in the areas that would make it profitable. They said, so when you shoot the movie in 100 millimeter film, at that time they weren't even using, it was 50 millimeter, and they said you'd have to set up cameras clear, like all across the horizon of where you're going to be shooting the film. And you have to do it on DVD, or back then a CD. They didn't have DVD, but they have to do it on a videotape, because you will not make enough money to compensate for that theater. Do it on video, and you have to, you know, show it on television. You have to go all the different ways. And this was the advice from Walt Disney. And that kind of took the wind out of the sails, but I just thought, well, you know, whatever is of the Lord is of the Lord. But I thought I would really be doing God a big, tremendous favor by doing something like that. And But then that was getting, I just didn't realize at that time I was a baby Christian. I'd only been saved for about 2 or 3 months when I came up with that idea. And then, of course, I know the people in the industry, and I was able to get right in there and talk to them. They were, that time they were having the World's Fair over in someplace in Canada. I think it was Calgary, Edmonton, Regina, or someplace like that. And the IMAX people were there, and they flew down to Las Vegas to talk to me about it. They thought it was great and everything, but then they said, you should go talk to Disney, because in this film, there's going to have to be a lot of animation. And you're going to either have to go to Warner Brothers or Walt Disney. So I knew the people at Disney better, so I went there. And that's why I went there in the first place. And they said, you know, if you want to make this thing profitable, that was the advice they gave me. But I abandoned that idea because of everything. We started this ministry, and I thought my ministry would be to the entertainment industry, but it turned out quite the opposite. It was to the hippies. We had what they called the hippie church back then. It's not the hippie church anymore because the hippie era of time is over. Back in my era of time, we used to call them beatniks over at Greenwich Village in New York. And I knew Mr. Eden Abbez, who wrote The Nature Boy that Nat King Cole sang, and Oh Come My Love and Live With Me. And he, to me, was the very first hippie. He lived in a Studebaker car up in the hills with his little son and his wife and his little dog. One time he went out of town to Vegas on a thing, and he asked me to take care of the dog, and that was the last time I ever agreed to do it. I says, don't ever ask me to do that again, man. I was tied down. I was afraid to hurt the little dog, or they'd leave him by himself, and maybe he would die. I didn't want the responsibility. So, anyway, these are all these desires. They get so complicated, and all these different hopes and aspirations of having some kind of a career. And I thought, boy, this would, then I started thinking, this would really make me the greatest impresario in the whole world. Todd A.O. would be a nothing compared to me. He had came up with that Around the World in 30 days? Yeah. And so that was supposed to be the biggest deal, and he was... And so I started, the devil kept trying to lure me back into being the greatest promoter in the entire world. And so Susie just, you know, said, all right, you know, if the Lord opens up the door, you'll do it. She took it very easy on me when I first got saved. And when I first got saved, I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and I thought it would really impress her that some guy was selling statues of Mary. And so I bought one. It was a big one. And so I took it there, and I bought a bottle of wine, you know, because I thought that was of the Lord, too. And I thought she'd really be impressed if I brought her that statue of Mary. And she said, she didn't rebuke me or anything. She said, oh, I just sent it over here. And then put the wine in the refrigerator, and she did that. And she knew. And she started teaching me in the Bible, and I saw all these things, how that we're not to pray to Mary, and she just pulled me right out. But these are things, the enticements, that the world will do. God wants us, everyone, to be what God wants us to be. That's all a really, truly consecrated person will do. But, you know, everybody, no matter how intelligent you are or you think you are, you're going to do a lot of stupid things in the ministry because it's not like anything in the world being in the ministry. I mean, you could be a wizard out in the world, but you're the most stupid person in the world when you get into ministry. Like a lot of people say, they go to get a job and say, yeah, I'm a cook. And they really are not. But they go there and they watch them flip an egg and the thing breaks all over the place. And then they say, okay, you haven't cooked before. Let us train you a little bit. And they put a piece of bread in a little egg pan and tell them, now just stay here and flip that. Flip it back and forth. And don't meet the egg with the pan. Flip it and then lower the pan so that it doesn't smash the eggs and things like that. But you cannot fake it in the spiritual world. not in the spiritual realm. You may fool a bunch of unsaved people that are, because I see thousands and hundreds of thousands of people flocking to these false prophets' churches. You see them in Africa and India, and there, you know, and they talk with such conviction, and they make you believe with these affected voice, my brothers and my sisters, you must be born again. They say that, but then the next thing they say, go out and have a good time. Amen? Instead of taking up the cross and following Jesus and denying yourself and all these different things that the Lord, and become a heap of ashes for the Lord. If these people would start preaching that, the arenas that are filled with, some of them are open, out in the open air, there's like 1 million or 2 million people there, that place would evacuate like a bunch of rats fleeing from a sinking ship, because the truth is something that people, especially newly saved people, I was so convinced that getting that statue of Mary was of the Lord, and she would have just thrown my soul if I would have said, if she would have taken it and thrown it down on the ground. Yeah, she used a lot of finesse, a lot of wisdom of God. And if she told me, no, you can't do that big movie or anything like that, she says, well, time will tell, you know, if the Lord opens the door, fine. But it was actually out of my ego that was operating there, that I wanted to show that I was the biggest motion picture producer and director in the whole wide world. And that is not of the Lord, brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
That was, it was a deception from the devil, especially people that are gifted. They are more susceptible. These are just a few things, you know, that I believe everybody ought to know, and you're just not going to hear every preacher telling these things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But as wise as people say I am today with the scriptures, when I first was saved, I wasn't wise at all. Everything I know that is good and spiritual and of the Lord came from the Lord and through experience. So we just want, the Lord wants us to not be anything but His temple. To use us that way. So whether whatever the outcome may be, amen?
Amen.
If he wanted me to have gone to Africa and tended to people with AIDS, you know, I don't believe that the Lord would ever do anything like that. He doesn't want you to go to a country where everybody is so promiscuous and you see people, you know, God's he wants you to go there and preach the gospel. Not to just feed them and clothe them and house them, but he wants you primarily there to preach the gospel. Because so many people are being led astray because they don't have the wisdom, they don't know how to follow the Lord. A person that's truly consecrated does not know, and he does not care. I mean, when I finally settled down, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know who holds tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't care what tomorrow brings, because whatever it brings, I know it's going to be of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't, nor I don't care. I have no desire, one way or the other, to just listen from the Lord, to the Lord. And that's when that dream came to me. I mean, I was just helpless, laying there helpless, and here this dream comes. And so you could take it, the Lord wants the people of New Orleans, you know, if you want to be saved, that you should receive this. And let me tell you that the Bible also tells of plagues that are so horrible on this earth that he's going to send because of the wrath, of the fierceness. The wine, the fierceness of the wine of the wrath of the living God is going to come down on this earth. And people will say, what? Oh, Mother Nature has gone crazy. No, and the Lord is not crazy either. He's punishing people because they like to hear smooth things. He, you know, they're telling you to enjoy everyday life. And the only way that the Lord means to enjoy everyday life is to enjoy the Lord. Enjoy being in the Spirit. Enjoy listening to Him. Enjoy communicating to Him. Enjoy doing what He tells you to do. Enjoy, you know, if He tells you to say something that may in the ordinarily make you embarrassed, enjoy doing it. Amen? Because it's the Lord.
Amen?
Amen? And enjoy turning off the tube when people are preaching false doctrine. So, I don't know, and I don't care. I only know that the Lord was a sacrifice, and I only know that I am a sacrifice only. As Sharon was reading yesterday, that what the Apostle Paul says, that we are to be a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable duty. Amen?
Amen.
Why? To please the Lord? No. For you to get into heaven.
Amen.
Because if you don't donate your life to the Lord after He donated His life to you, if He doesn't become the pearl of great price to you as we became to Him, well, then you won't be in heaven. So it's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of giving up this world. The Bible says, love not the world. But this is a message that the world doesn't want to hear. You think that you're going to have fun, fun, fun. There was a woman Susie was telling me about. She was in this place where they were having a New Year's festival or something. And she was drunk. This one woman was drunk and all the people around. And the woman on this bar stool turned to Sue and said, "Are we having fun?" "No, you're not having fun out there. You're scared out of your wits. And you're full of depression. And you're so depressed that you're actually even, many of you, committing suicide out there. Why don't you give the Lord yourself a chance? And sacrifice yourself unto the Lord and see how wonderful it is to be alive with God's life in you." So all I want to know is that I'm a sacrifice, holy, but entirely belonging to God. Entirely. You have to submit yourself totally to the Lord. On the altar. The altar is where they used to put these burnt offerings. You have to be buried in the altar. The altar is like where the animal sacrifices went, which were symbolic of Christ. Christ was crucified and buried in our old life. Has to be crucified and then buried. And it's symbolized by our being baptized, fully submerged in water, saying, "That's it, world, goodbye. I'm going to the watery grave of the Lord, and I'm going to stay there. And I'm going to let Him raise me up in the Spirit, and so that I can walk on this horrible world without being depressed, being depraved or going crazy like you see so many people doing today. You know, just because of the fact that it's vogue to be crazy, I'm not going to go crazy. When the Beatles came out with their Beatle haircut, I didn't make a Beatle haircut on myself. I'm not a follower of the world. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Him in the vision, He didn't have long blonde hair and blue eyes. He had black eyes, black bushy hair, and he looked completely different than any picture that I've ever seen drawn of him or painted of him. So we have to be on the altar and buried there. The place where a truly born again of the Spirit sacrifice, living sacrifice, stands. That's where you have to make your stand. You have to get your mind. You have to put on the mind of Christ. That's the kind of mind He had, was that He was the sacrifice so that all of us could be saved. And if you don't sacrifice yourself, you're just living a worldly life. You're no example, and people can't see Christ in a person that's having fun, fun, fun. okay, because the world thinks they're having fun. They're pretending like they're having fun because they want to go out and have sexual relationships with different people. So they go to these different haunts where the singles hang out and everything and hope that they're going to have some sex, a new love, or for the moment, or something like that. But if you're a heap of ashes, this doesn't even enter your mind. If you're a true sacrifice, a living sacrifice to the Lord, that doesn't even enter your mind. The place where a truly consecrated person stands is on the altar, and you're buried there with Christ. That is, if you're going to get into heaven. And you're what you are. You know what you are is, if you're really consecrated, all you are is a heap of ashes. And really, you know, what does it amount? You say this guy, Freddie Prinze, puts a gun to his head, and people today don't even know who he is anymore. He's been gone for years, and all kinds of other people. Elvis, I knew him. He took drugs until he died. Both of us were the same age. Elvis today would be my age. And he's I'm like 3 months older than him. My birthday's in September. And his is in the early part of January. So making this stand, being consecrated, standing in the heap of ashes, or becoming a heap of ashes, you know what this is? This is forever. You have to make your mind up that this is forever. It's forever. You want to know why? Because eternity is forever. The result, my future has been utterly abandoned, turned into a pile of ashes forever. Forever. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. And you'll have no regrets either. Mm-hmm. Because once you've been in the ministry, once you've been in the Lord, you're going to see how much better it is. And I see my time is up, so let's get up to the throne here and ask the Lord to enter into you and make you a new creature, make you a member, one of the members of the body of Christ, Christ in the center of you, and you as his vessel that he can operate in this world. That's what he wants. If you want to please God, there's nothing more than that that pleases the Lord. That's what he died for. So to do that, just say this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, Lord, and I invite you into my heart. You wash all my filthy sins, my former filthy sins, away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Let us start praising and thanking the Lord, and raise your holy hands up to him now. Praise God. The Holy Spirit has come down into you now. Jesus with the Father by the Spirit. All of them. They're all one. And make sure you get baptized, fully submerged in water. And if you want to move into our church, it doesn't cost anything. Or if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't know how, ask me. Just call, and Sharon will give you four different ways how to receive a copy of this program. Please specify whether it's a CD or an audio tape. And remember, this is program number 358-358. And here's Sharon to tell you.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another powerful message, Instructions of Life. God's life in you, the life of Christ that is fathered by the Spirit. And here I am singing for you, Onward Christian Soldiers. Never turn back. It's forever. Onward.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the against the foe, forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to
Yeah.